The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show here on 1310 KFKA. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University, and I'm joined here in studio live this morning with Jim Salnier. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
We've also got Peter Scott here today, so we've got the full crew going today.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well, thank
Excellent.
You.
So, Jim, are you having hardware issues again? That's why we check our headphones ahead of time. So this is our pre-Thanksgiving show. We are live in studio, so the phone lines are open.
Testing.
Yeah. You don't do the testing when we're actually broadcasting. So you can call in and talk to Peter and myself, but Jim, we'll have to relay your questions through.
Well, I can hear, but not through the headphones. I just hear it in the room.
Oh, that's fine. That's the same as me as well. I'm not getting any backfill. So
you're not getting it either?
No, that's okay. Oh. We can continue with the show, though.
Okay.
As long as we...
I'm hearing just fine, thank you.
You can hear everything?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. I'm starting to hear it, so it's getting better. So, like I was saying, we are live this morning, which is pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
And so we're always happy to take your phone calls here at 970-353-1310 and 877-353-1310 for those of you outside of the Northern Colorado local calling area. Our show is coming to you live from Northern Colorado. Bless you.
And it's going to be a very interactive show because we have turkey trivia today, which is second year in a row we've tried this. For those who don't know what turkey trivia is going to be, myself, Chris, and Pete are going to ask a Thanksgiving-related trivia question. And then somehow, through the powers of our wealth of knowledge, we are going to relate that answer to estate or retirement planning.
Now, are our listeners going to call in and answer the trivia
question? They answer the trivia question. And by answering said trivia question, they get entered into a drawing for a Fat Albert's pie.
And I understand that we have slim entries up to this point.
We have none.
That'd be pretty slim. So they have a real chance to winning.
And we're giving away the pie today. Now, I want to caution everyone. You are not going to be able to have this pie for Thanksgiving. Number one, Sue's probably up to her eyeballs in pie baking. Number two, we have to mail you now a coupon because in the past people were walking in the Fat Albert's claiming to be the pie winner.
There are some dishonest people out there.
Believe it or not. So what we do now is we mail the pie winner a coupon. That said coupon probably won't get to your place in time for Thanksgiving. And even if it did, Sue's probably, like I said, already sold out for Thanksgiving pies. However, there is an even bigger and better holiday right around the corner from Thanksgiving called Christmas.
Oh, when they start that?
That's a few years ago.
Oh, really?
So you can take this coupon and get yourself a Christmas pie, though.
Uh-huh.
So this is our Thanksgiving trivia playing for a Christmas pie.
So what would you deem to be a Christmas pie?
A pie you eat on Christmas.
No, I know, but what flavor would you choose? Because you usually have the seasonal preference. You like key lime in the
last
summertime.
Last year I got the pumpkin streusel and big letdown. Sorry, Fat Albert, don't mean to throw you under the bus on that one, but the streusel is pecans. And I don't like any type of nut in something that's supposed to be smooth and creamy. So it was not a big seller in my eyes. I thought it would be more of a coffee cake streusel topping on the pumpkin pie, and I thought, ooh, that sounds Christmassy. But it's not. It's just a bunch of pecans.
I think that must be the standard because yesterday I was at the store. I saw Marie Callender, who sells the frozen pies. Mm-hmm. They had a pumpkin streusel. It looked exactly like the Fat Albert's version with all
with
the pecans. So that must be how they do it.
That's
normally.
Weird. Wouldn't you imagine if you heard streusel, Pete, you would think of a coffee cake topping?
Maybe that's strudel.
That's strudel, yeah.
That's strudel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. See, it is an educational
show. I think it's very misleading for the baking community.
To have streusel and
have
strudel.
To have streusel and strudel and have them mean such different things but sound so similar.
I did not know that there was a such thing as a strudel and a streusel. Wow, things we learn on this show. And we do want to rush this a little bit. We don't want to banter too much because we have a good 8.
Pie, though.
Oh, you want to talk about more pie? Well, we should give a shout out to Fat Albert's. Wonderful pies. They're a great sponsor mm-hmm. of the show. They give our listeners a free pie once a month. And great pies. What I will get this year for my Christmas pie, because I usually get my pumpkin supreme, not pumpkin supreme, peanut butter supreme. Mm-hmm. But I think I might go with a chocolate cream pie.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good all year round.
Yeah. Any cream pie is good. They're so good you just want to roll in them. You know?
But that may be what we do. And I get it from Fat Albert's and I bring it to wherever place I happen to be dining that Christmas. So that's probably what I'll be doing. Mm,
very nice.
Okay. So once again, people.
So why would people call before? Or are they allowed to call before the trivia starts? Or
if they want to, we're going to get to some email questions. That's why I'm trying to rush this.
Okay.
Email questions, okay. And we have actually one email comment, one email question, and then two questions that were proposed by real people.
Real people
in the office recently.
Face-to-face as opposed to email
face-to-face,
people?
Face-to-face,
like email people aren't real people?
No, they're real. They're just not face-to-face.
Okay.
These
were
face-to-face people. Both involve you, Pete.
You know how we call what we call iTunes listeners?
iTunians.
iTunians?
Yeah.
Emailians.
Emailians.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Wow.
Very good.
iTunians and Emailians.
So, but our callers can call in anyway.
Just continue on.
Yeah.
This is a technical thing between me and Micah.
Okay. So anyway, our callers can call in if they do have a question. We don't want to put them off.
Yes. It's not just – excuse me again. It is not just trivia. If you have a real question, a real estate or financial planning or retirement planning question, you can call us as well. Our number is 970-530-0 – no, 970-21 – no, that's my cell phone. 353-1310 and 877-353-1310. I knew
nice.
I'd get it. Don't call the other two numbers. That was my cell phone and office number. Okay, we're having technical difficulties here.
No, we're not. Just keep talking.
He's holding up a sign that says talk.
Jim, I've never known you not to talk.
I'm being told to talk, and now I can't. Okay, so if you can't tell, this is live, and we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I think we're still broadcasting. This is going to be our turkey trivia. So we got 8 Thanksgiving-related trivia questions. Everybody who calls with an answer will be entered into the pie drawing. As we said, you probably won't get the Fat Albert's pie for Turkey Day, but you will be able to get it for St. Nick's visit next month. You should have no problem getting it as a Christmas pie. The other thing we want to jump to first, Pete, though, are 2 email questions. One's more of an email comment. The other is an indefinite email question. And then 2 questions that were proposed.
2 inquiries.
Posed to me, not hey. Proposed.
Right. Very
posed
good.
To me mm-hmm. This week by real people in the office.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We'll just call them Malians.
Malians?
Well, there's iTunians, there's Emalians, and then we have to have a name for the people who just come in.
Well, they weren't males, though. Both of them were females.
Well, Familians.
Familians?
I'm very familiar with Familians.
Everything has to sound like Star Trek?
You started it with the iTunians. I'm surprised that hasn't caught on more. Worldwide.
iTunian?
Yeah.
Well, if Jim hadn't copyrighted it, it probably would.
It could be.
Actually, one of our email questions is an iTunian, and he references himself as an iTunian. So that is pretty good.
So it's catching on a little bit.
Okay. First thing I want to get, mm-hmm. speaking of iTunians,
yes.
is more of the email comment as opposed to question. We received this from a gentleman who called himself George, which is pretty good because longtime listeners. That tells me he's a longtime listener. Longtime listeners know we protect the
identity,
the privacy of any emailer.
Emailian.
by calling them George.
Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
We do that for a few reasons. Number one, I love Looney Tunes. And number two, we don't know if an emailian, as Chris likes to call them now, really wants their information being shared publicly. But we know a caller, by the very definition they called a live radio show, they don't mind.
Right.
So we call everyone George. This gentleman in Wisconsin signed it George, but also put his real name on there. I won't give what that is. And his simple comment was, Jim, is the podcast download working? I haven't had an update since October 23rd. And then he wrote, put another star on Wisconsin. So we will do that next week when we're in the office. We're not in the office today. We're in the studio. But I got back a hold of him right away because I didn't know that the iTunes was not updating yet again. So what we found, or what I found, is apparently the process we're following is incredibly slow. When we do a show before, and we've talked about this before, when we do a live show like today, the regulators, Securities and Exchange Commission, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and our compliance department, they consider this a public appearance. It's not scripted. We don't know what we're going to say. Well, I guess you could say the turkey trivia questions are scripted. But we don't know what we're going to say if somebody calls with a question. It's live. It's unprepped. We're not scripting anything. So they call that, the regulators call that, a live appearance. However, because I am a practicing financial planner, I am not a financial entertainer. We've talked about that before. There's many people out there, Susie Orman, the other guy there into the debt guy there.
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey. Another guy I'm just recently listening to, Clark Howard. These are people we call financial entertainers. They do not have actual clients. They just do radio shows. And as such, they can pretty much say what they want and nobody regulates them. That's why some of the things Ramsey says makes my blood boil. Other things he says are pretty good advice. But you take entertainers with a grain of salt. When somebody is actually doing this for a living, I have to go by certain rules set by the Securities and Exchange Commission and Financial Industry Regulatory Authority and compliance officials. And they say when a live show is recorded and made available for play at any time, it is no longer considered a public appearance. It is now an advertisement in their eyes. Don't ask me why. That's their rule, not mine. And they say advertisements need to be listened to make sure we're not saying anything we shouldn't be saying. And it all revolves around the fact that I could actually meet with a listener and work with them, whereas you don't get that with Susie Orman. You buy her little CDs, or Dave Ramsey, you sign up for a class that isn't even taught by him. So there's a difference between a financial entertainer and a financial planner who's actually doing a show. So that's one of the reasons it takes a long time. The other reason is I've researched how we do it in the office, and I just don't think we're doing it very efficiently. So I will take that matter up with Julia, and I think that, and I spoke with you recently about this, Chris, I think we may be able to shorten the timeline a little bit. I think we found a little bit of inefficiencies of how we get the show from KFKA, how we get it to Julia, how Julia gets it to compliance, how compliance gets it back to us, and then how we can get it on the website. So I do want to apologize for our loyal iTunian listeners. So I said all this to this guy, and he wrote back to me. This George wrote back, and he wrote a very nice email back, and I'll read it. It says, Jim, it really is a great show. As a loyal iTunian, so he called himself Chris, an iTunian, I enjoy the banter, which that surprised me because most iTunians, they write to us, stop the banter. They hate the fact that we banter on this show. But then he went on to correct me, which was the first mistake he made in the email.
Of course, yeah. I remember the last guy that corrected you.
Yes, he'll be seeing a dark SUV rolling up to his house none too soon. He wrote, one thing I need to correct you on, and I think he meant you two, not me.
No, of course. This was addressed to you.
But I think the you in this case meant you guys.
No, that would have been you all.
Y'all.
One thing I need to correct you on, however, the love of Paul McCartney's life was Linda. They were married for 19 years when she died of breast cancer. Heather Mills was the problem wife. I think you have them confused from time to time. And I talked to Chris about that. I guess apparently we talked about Paul McCartney once. Do you remember, Pete? I don't remember.
No, I don't.
I think it must have been a while ago. Maybe that plays into the I'm a loyal long-term iTunian. Yeah. This has apparently been festering for a while.
Or maybe you just listened to it recently. And
oh, that could be.
Because
for us, it was a long time ago. He may have listened to it last week.
Because he can't listen to anything new because it hasn't been posted since October.
Oh, way to go.
But you get all the old ones.
Yeah, so go back and read.
Well, I do want to send out an apology to Paul if we said something that was wrong. I do like Paul McCartney. I do like Wings. And I know Paul McCartney and Linda were essentially Wings. And I knew she had passed away. I didn't know she died of cancer. But I had no clue he was married to Heather Mills.
Paul McCartney and what was Wings?
Linda, his wife.
She
Linda.
Was in Wings?
She was in Wings.
I didn't know that. I don't follow Paul McCartney that closely, but I'll admit that's one thing I didn't know.
Yeah, she was one of the Wings.
Wow.
I had no idea.
You didn't know that either?
I knew that, but
I didn't know that.
But wow, both of you have found something new today. This is wonderful. All
Struzzle
the first
and Linda. And Wings. McCartney being a Wing.
The information given on this show is just astronomical.
Wow, we're in the first segment. Can you imagine
what you're
going to learn?
By the end of this show. Okay, and then he wrote a few other nice things, a little bit about himself, and he wrote that he wonders every day how to protect, preserve, and grow for the benefit of his kids, his assets, and his retirement. So I thought that was pretty good, too. Yeah. Hopefully he's learning on our show how to do that. So that's the first email question that I wanted to get to. It was more of a comment, and I wanted to explain again to our iTunians why sometimes it takes a while to get things up on iTunes. People who can post on iTunes right away, and there's a bunch of financial shows also on iTunes, they are pretty much not practicing advisors. There's a lot of entertainers out there. Even on iTunes, they sell ad space and things like that, and that's how they're trying to get their money. We, on the other hand, Pete, you're a practicing estate planning attorney.
Right.
And I am a practicing retirement planner. So we have certain rules and regulations we have to follow. Okay, let's get into a real question. And I'm not quite sure if this gentleman is from around here or not, but he writes a bit of a question. I did get back a hold of him. I told him I would answer it on today's show. And then I suggested he and I talk because there's a lot of moving parts to this question. I could dedicate a whole show to this man's questions, and we won't do that.
Thank you.
But because we have the trivia. But okay, so he wrote, Jim, I have a retirement pension with a 401k at work.
Do I need to take notes?
No, why would you have to take notes?
I don't know.
If you're going to engage me in this
discussion.
No, I can answer this on my own, but
perfect.
I can throw it to you as well.
I'll keep watching the ESPN then.
What's on ESPN?
I'm just talking
about football. You're watching football.
Exactly.
That's not ESPN. That's the NFL channel. That's ESPN. You're right.
Yeah.
But Chris ought to know. He's been watching it for the entire
segment. Well, I was
wondering
what he was looking over my shoulder for. You're not even paying attention. You're watching football reruns.
Yes.
This is a live show.
I know. That's why I was concerned that you were about to ask me a question.
Well, I am now going to throw. You're going to answer one of the questions, so be prepared.
Okay.
Watching football for Pete's sakes.
Yes, for Pete's sake.
Pete's right here. And you're looking in that direction, too.
No, I'm actually kind of looking at you over your right shoulder.
All right, be ready, Chris, because you're going to answer one of his questions.
Okay.
Jim and Chris, I have a retirement pension and a 401k at my work. I am about 5 years away from retiring, if possible. I want to switch my 401k to a Roth IRA. I have heard you say that there is a limit of how much I can put into a Roth account. Does that include transferring from a 401k to a Roth account?
No. Can I go back to football now?
No. You're going to answer more than
I
that.
I just answered it.
I don't care. And I'm not done reading his question. Don't interrupt me.
Go ahead.
I also have a question about the pension and how it will be taxed when I receive it. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what I can do with the pension. I listen to your show every Saturday morning, and by far, you are the strength of the show.
Stop. I am listening to what you're saying. You're not going to just slip that by.
Okay. Apparently, you are paying attention to the last part.
No, there's no limit on
all right, so why don't you explain
the 401k to the Roth.
However, a few issues with that. That's more of a conversion than simply moving. So let's talk a little bit about that. But the first thing, before I make Chris answer this because he's watching football, I want this particular George to know what you are, in fact, trying to do is called a conversion, and it must be done at work. More likely than not, based on the age that you indicated you were, you're not going to be able to do what is called an in-service distribution. So in order to do a conversion, which is what you're asking to do, you will have to convert your traditional 401k to a Roth 401k. And you need to find out if your work offers a Roth 401k. Not all do. If they do offer a Roth 401k, you can begin converting some of your Roth, excuse me, your traditional 401k into a Roth 401k. However, there are a few caveats with Roth 401ks that I'll make Chris answer in a minute. He's paying attention now. He's looking at me, not football.
It's a commercial.
Oh. Damn it, you're right. It is a commercial. Okay, so I didn't know you were such a football fan. So what we want you to know, or what I want you to know, if you are still working, and from what you've written, you are still working at this firm, mm-hmm. you just can't move your money from the 401k into a Roth IRA. You have to do it as a conversion at work. Now, when you get to age 62, some plans will allow what they call in-service withdrawals, and you may be able to do that. You may be able to do it sooner than 62 as well, but I don't want to bore you with how that
Well,
works.
How old did he say how old he was?
He will be 62 in 5 years. He hopes to retire at 62, and he hopes to retire in 5 years. So I'm just doing math.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So why
is it not
run
possible for them to offer in-service withdrawals prior to 62?
They could, but the only money that is convertible at that point is generally the employer contributions, not your own or the growth. So it's limited.
Right.
When you reach 62, generally you can get better access.
Yes, and only if the plan allows it. Not every plan.
Correct.
It's not required for them to allow in-service distributions, which are withdrawals from your 401k, 401a, etc., while you're still working there.
Exactly.
That's, I guess, an optional provision. So you'd have to check with your particular plan to see if that's allowed, first
but
of all.
Why don't you explain a little bit about what a conversion is, how it would be taxed, and how it has to stay at the 401k level?
Well, when you take money out for any reason, that's going to be a taxable event because essentially this is deferred income. It's money that you've earned in the past that was put into these accounts and you didn't pay tax when they went in, but when you take them out, they are taxed. So you can move them among similar accounts. So if you went to work for another employer, you might be able to move it from the old 401k to the new 401k. That is not a taxable event. But when you take it out to either spend it or to put it in a different type of an account, you'll have – essentially you're going to recognize that as income. So you'll – not only if you – and this affects a lot of people who are still working. You'll have your earned income from the job. And then if you do this conversion by withdrawing money and putting it into a post-tax account like a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, that's going to be additional income that year. So you have to be very careful that you're not going to push yourself into a maybe what we would term an unfavorable tax position. So a lot of these conversion techniques happen post-work. So after you have what's called separated from service, because then the earned income part, your salary, that's gone away. And so maybe you're in a more favorable tax position to start the conversions themselves. But let's say you he sounds like he really wants to get money into the Roth instead of the traditional 401k. And if your employer offers a Roth 401k that is open to you while you're still working and then is not considered an in-service distribution, so it is the type of conversion you can do while you're still working there as opposed to trying to get it out of the employer plans completely to the Roth IRA, that may not be allowed until he's done working there. So he can kind of take this interim step, the prepping for having the money ultimately in the Roth IRA by doing what Jim suggests, which is converting either all or part, you don't have to do it all at once, of the traditional 401k into the Roth 401k. It still is a taxable event, so you're going to recognize the income in the year that you do that conversion. But then it'll end up in a post-tax account, and all further growth that may happen, or losses if they occur, all further growth in that account will be tax-free rather than tax-deferred, and free is always better than deferred. And then ultimately when you separate from service, it's very easy then to move that 401k Roth style to a Roth IRA. You've already paid taxes on it, so there really isn't – it's just a rollover. There's no conversion taking place because you've paid taxes at some point in the past.
Exactly. So what this gentleman needs to find out – I'm guessing he's around 57, 58 years old. So he is in what we call the sweet spot of retirement planning. Now is where we can start doing some of these projections because money that he can get or any of our listeners can get into a Roth account – could help provide tax-free Social Security. We talk about this all the time. Tax-free is better than tax-deferred. And Roths have a tremendous amount of benefits, least of which is their withdrawals are tax-free. And they are not considered – withdrawals from a Roth are not considered part of provisional income for the taxation of your Social Security. So it could be a very good thing he can do. One, two more caveats. You cannot undo a Roth 401k conversion. Once it's done, it's done. When we talk about converting Roth IRAs to Roth IRAs, Chris and I joke all the time, we don't care how much you convert. Convert the entire account. We don't care. Why do we say that? Because we can undo it, or you can undo it. It's very easy to undo. So if you make a mistake, you convert too much, you don't have the money for taxes, you have until October 15th of the year following the year you convert to undo it and pay no taxes. It's a wonderful thing. You cannot undo a Roth 401k conversion. So you have to be very certain the amount of money you are converting, you actually can't afford to pay the taxes on because you cannot undo it. Finally, when you retire, move a Roth 401k to a Roth IRA. That is crucial because Roth 401ks have required minimum distributions. They will force you to start taking money out at 70 and a half. You won't pay any taxes on it, but they will force you to take it out. And if you don't take it out, they will impose a 50% penalty tax on the money you didn't take out tax-free. Think about that, people. If you had to take $10,000 out of your Roth 401k and you didn't, they're going to hit you with a $5,000 penalty tax on a $10,000 distribution that's not taxable. So rather than playing that game, move a Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, and you can avoid all that. Just wanted to throw those two little caveats out there.
Perfect. So we're at the bottom of the hour here, so it's time for our first break. When we come back, I think we're going to listen to the first of our Thanksgiving theme songs. We'll find out which one it is. I have no idea. But this is the Retirement and IRA Show. Are we going to have another email question or are we going to dive into trivia?
I got two things I want to run by Pete. It should take him because he's much more succinct than I am. Shouldn't take him more than 5 minutes to answer, maybe 10, and then we'll get into trivia.
Perfect. So if you want to prepare yourself for the call-in for the trivia questions, the number is 970-353-1310, and we'll start that in the next segment. Thank you.
gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known the wicked oppressed.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. This is our Thanksgiving week-themed live show. So thanks for tuning in again. That is We Gather Together by Celtic Women.
Yeah, hymn we used to sing all the time in church.
And this is the new Celtic Women version of that. A little more upbeat and popish, maybe. But
we didn't hear enough of it to know, but
So
it's an old hymn.
It is. It's introduced in the U.S. in the early 1900s before Celtic Women were around.
Yeah.
They're a little bit younger than that.
They look a little younger,
They look a little younger. And it quickly became associated with Thanksgiving Day, which is coming up for us in just a few days now.
That's right. Yeah, Thursday.
So, I'm just amazed that it was written in the 16th century but didn't make it to the U.S. till the 1900s.
Well,
where was it hanging around for 300 years?
Well, iTunes wasn't fully set up, you know, by then. So things.
But nobody from the Netherlands came on over in the little wooden boats with the little wooden shoes and brought that song with them?
Well, they wanted to keep it for themselves, maybe. I don't know.
Anyway,
all we know is we have these two sentences about it.
I was just amazed that for 300 years it never made it to the shores of this great land. And now it's a Thanksgiving song, which is clearly a U.S. holiday, not a Dutch holiday.
Yeah. Well, it was never intended to be a Thanksgiving song.
No, it was just gathering together.
Oh.
I thought this
was Thanksgiving-related song.
It is here. Actually, it's
evolved
not.
Evolved into a Thanksgiving-themed song.
Oh.
We used to sing it in church all the time. It had nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
Right.
Well, on Thanksgiving and very often during the year.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So, never mind.
Because you gather together fairly frequently.
Yes, like at least once a week.
At a church service, right?
Okay, let's jump right back into this because we know our listeners are just dying to play Turkey Trivia, and I have two more things I want to run by Pete. Okay, Pete, these are real situations that I have been involved with lately, and I wanted to get your opinion on a few things. And in one case, it's a sad case, but we have talked often on this show about revocable living trusts.
Right.
Okay. Here is how I would like you to walk our listeners through. We had a situation where a listener, their father passed away. So I've already shared our condolences, so that part is taken care of. But the father passed away after living a long and very, very fun life and good life, I was told. And he passed away with his assets inside a revocable living trust. The trust beneficiaries are his three siblings and one of the siblings.
His three siblings or children?
Children.
Okay.
Isn't that the same thing?
No. One would be brothers and sisters.
Oh, that's right. Children are different than siblings.
Yeah. Gotcha. Unless they can be siblings to each other, of course.
Right. The children.
Correct. The children
as
siblings.
A group are siblings amongst
but
themselves.
But they're his children.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yes. No problem. Moving right along. Yeah. So his three children are equal beneficiaries of the living trust. And the person I've been chatting with is the trustee. Can you just walk our listeners through some of the steps that generally must be followed when the owner and creator of the living trust passes away?
Okay. Well, what's nice about all of it is that assuming that the assets are in the trust, which
they were.
So no probate, no dealing with the court, no filings. None of that. And so the trust then, the successor trustee, we'll call the child who's taking over as trustee following father's death, then becomes the trustee and has full authority to do whatever is required or necessary under the terms of the trust. And the trust sets out what happens. So they just have to get their arms around what assets there are. Get their arms around whatever debts or obligations may still remain, pay those, divide things up, and distribute them. Now, I'm assuming there's no estate tax since that's only 0.3% of the people that are subject to that. So most folks now, the vast majority, don't have any estate tax. So we don't have to worry about that. The only other thing is that if the trust, it's the revocable living trust, which becomes essentially irrevocable at that point in time, the father's income tax year ends on the date of his death. So any income that was received or recognized by dad prior to death would go on dad's final income tax return. any income, interest, dividends, rents, royalties, whatever it might be, that is received after dad's date of death is reported by the trust on its income tax return, and it has to file an income tax return for the trust and thus get a tax ID number if the total gross income, not net, but gross income exceeds $600. So if – and a lot of times in modest estates, if the assets are distributed – soon enough, there may not be adequate time for it to earn $600 of income, in which case no income tax.
Now, how would they go about – most of the assets were the home and some mutual funds. The other assets were IRAs and annuities, which, as you know, and our listeners, if they listen for a long time know, are not paid – are not owned, rather, by the trust. So it's really some funds. And as you do know, most funds will do a very large distribution of income by mid to late December. So how do they go about, quote unquote, distributing these funds out of the trust?
The trustee will instruct probably you, Jim, since let's assume that you're managing this for purposes of the question, and ask you to divide that into three separate accounts, one for each child. And then each child's account gets set up. The income that comes out of the mutual funds, if you do that before the dividend is declared, then that falls onto the children's tax return. And if not, let's say they distribute it early or it doesn't get done till the end of the year, that division and distribution, then the trust will have that income to report on its income tax return. If it's over $600, the trust files the income tax return reporting the income, but it was distributed to the kids before December 31, and consequently, the trust gets an offsetting deduction for the distributions. So no income tax is due, no income is taxable, but then the kids get a K-1, and they have to pick up their share of that income.
Okay. So the mutual funds, if they don't separate them out before dividends are declared and the trust receives all these dividends next month, more likely than not, because I've seen the funds and the dollar amount involved, will be in excess of $600. So the trust files a tax return. The income ultimately is distributed to the three children, so the taxes will be paid by the three children. But it just seems like a lot of CPA preparatory fees are going to be incurred because the trust needs to file a tax return and file a K-1 for income that gets passed to the kids.
Well, exactly. I don't know if I'd characterize it as prep work. We can thank our government Internal Revenue Service for those rules. By the way, I'll mention, too, that let's assume the dividend is received before the mutual funds are divided and distributed, and it's received in this year, but they can't really get it distributed until next year. If they have 65 days after the end of the year to make distributions and relate them back to the prior year so they don't have to file a second tax return for the following year. So they would have a tax return in 2015 that would reflect any distributions made during the first 65 days of 2016.
So what you just – in English, what you just said is if the mutual funds were to pay the dividends on December 30th and there's no way to get them distributed by December 31st, as long as they distribute the dividends to the children within the first 65 days of 2016, no additional 2016 trust tax return has to be filed.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. I just put that in English. Okay. Let's move on to the final thing then. You ready for this one?
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. I'm ready.
Because this one you have no clue on.
Well, I hope I have a clue on the answer. But
you should. I talked to you about the trust one on the way in. Okay. So this made me scratch my head. So I was chatting with someone recently. As you know, Well, why don't you explain the rules, Pete? If two people are married, can one spouse disinherit the other?
They can attempt to do that. Every state has a provision prohibiting the disinheritance of a spouse. And the way that works is it's called a marital election or spousal election or election against the will. It goes by various names. In Colorado, and it's not dissimilar to other states other than perhaps Louisiana, But a spouse has the right in Colorado, regardless of what the will or the revocable living trust says, to say, I'm going to reject that. I want to take my marital share. Now, that marital share is defined as 5% of the value of the decedent's estate for every completed year of marriage, up to a maximum of 50%. So if they've endured this spouse for 10 full years, then they're entitled to take 50% of that estate at that spouse's death, regardless of what their will or trust says. Now, the spouse, in order to do that, has to reject whatever they were left in the will or the trust, say, no thanks for that. I want to get my marital share.
That's what I thought you were going to say, which led to this question. As you know, 401ks take a spousal consent to disinherit. But when the money is in an IRA, no spousal consent is needed. And the IRA will pass immediately upon the death of the owner. So if you had a husband who may have had a mistress on the side, and he names the mistress as beneficiary of the IRA, immediately upon his death, the mistress owns that IRA, will inherit that IRA. She doesn't necessarily own it. She's the beneficiary. And it passes by right of law. How would the spouse, the wife, stop that from happening? Because the mistress at that point can go to the custodian and say, hi, I am so-and-so. That's my name there. I want to move that into an inherited IRA. Now, it's a beneficiary IRA, or I just, that's me. I want to close it. I know I have to pay taxes. Give me that money. How does the spouse stop that when something passes by right of law, such as an IRA, an annuity, life insurance, all these things that do not require spousal consent to change the beneficiary? All of a sudden you have a spouse being disinherited and an asset passing by right of law. How does that spouse stop those people from cashing things in that are now theirs?
Well, I would also add joint ownership. So in your example, if the decedent had put a piece of real estate or accounts in joint names with the mistress, that would fall under that same category. In order to make the spousal election, the spouse has to go do that through the probate court. Spouse would open a probate proceeding on her own in this case, since we're talking mistress, I'm assuming the decedent is a male. So the probate proceeding would be open, and then the surviving spouse makes the election, and there's a calculation that brings in, it's not just what the decedent owned at their date of death, it's called augmented estate. And basically what it says is anything that would appear on the federal estate tax return gets brought back in. That would be prior gifts, all that sort of thing, including IRAs, joint ownership, annuities, life insurance, if the decedent owned those. Those get added back in, and then the spouse is awarded their 50%. They then get a judgment, essentially, against the people who have received these assets that they can enforce and collect. So it would be something that would be enforced through the court, and it would be a judgment entered, and at that point they could garnish accounts, attach accounts, garnish wages.
Pete, would she have to, the surviving spouse here, have to pursue half of each of these individual things? Or if that is like gone with the mistress to Aruba,
or Belarus,
no hope of recovering that piece, does she have claim to more of something else that she could actually attach to? Does it? My understanding is with a judgment, she can just harvest from wherever she can obtain it up until she reaches the limit of the judgment, correct?
Right. So the first assets that would be applied against her marital share would be the assets that remained in the decedent's estate. So that will reduce the amount of the judgment. So let's assume that there was $100,000 that was in a savings account or investment account that was in the decedent's name, but the augmented estate and the marital share equal $500,000, then the first $100,000 would be obviously awarded to the surviving spouse, but then their judgment would be for $400,000, and she can pick up wherever she wants. However, she can only recover from any particular beneficiary up to the amount they received. So the mistress, if she got $200,000, she would not be exposed to more than $200,000.
Okay,
point is the mistress might end up getting her money because the surviving spouse actually received more than 50% from other places.
Yes.
So
well, I know
in aggregate, she got half of what was
– In the case that I'm alluding to, there is not a lot of other assets besides those.
Then there'd be a judgment she can enforce against the mistress.
But my fear was, especially in the case of life insurance, which can be paid out immediately – the mistress, and this particular case didn't involve a mistress, but I'm just changing the facts a little there. But in this particular case, a mistress could get that life insurance policy that pays out immediately, spend the money.
Oh, yeah.
And then, okay, you might have a judgment against someone, but the money's gone. And I think what was shocking to this particular person was how easy it could be to really disinherit someone if you're in a bad relationship. And I think that's what I want our listeners, both in Northern Colorado and iTunian listeners, to realize. And if you are in a situation where there's distrust, if you're in a situation where all the assets are owned by one spouse and you don't particularly trust that spouse, you have to be very careful because IRA beneficiary forms can be changed without your knowledge, without your consent, unless, iTunians, you're in a community property state. Then there is still going to have to be a spousal consent. But the other 42 states or 41 states, how many? There's what, 8 community property states? Or
nine.
Nine. So the other 41 states, you're SOL because the IRA would pass and it can be closed right away and spent. And annuities don't need spousal consent. And life insurance doesn't need spousal consent. And you can get in a situation where you're in a bad relationship and things are being done to you and you don't know. So it came to a forefront the other day, and I wanted to talk to you about it because I thought this is something that probably isn't addressed as much, and I don't think a lot of spouses realize how much risk they could be exposed to. You may be able to drag it all out, but now you're getting legal fees, attorney fees, all this, and money that even if you win may not even be there by time it happens.
Right. So technically, they may not be able to disinherit you as a spouse, but effectively, they could.
And that's the problem with any judgment is, you know, that it's the collectability of it. People can be successful in getting judgments for wrongs, people cheating them out of money or what have you. But is it collectible? And if the person that they have the judgment against is what we call judgment proof, and that means that they have no accessible assets, then that and a quarter gets you half a cup of coffee somewhere. Not, I guess, anywhere.
Well, I wanted to run those by before we started Turkey Trivia. So Turkey Trivia is probably going to be an hour long, not two, because the first hour we had to get real things done, as we like to say. But Pete, thank you for your knowledge. We'll probably take up these topics next week. Next week, for those who don't know, even though it's a holiday weekend, it's going to be a new show. We're going to record it Tuesday in the office. So we're going to take times out of our lives and do what we have to do just to have a new show. We usually play a best of on Thanksgiving weekend, but this year we're going to play a new one. Because we're dedicated. So we will take up these matters again. I just wanted to share them with our listeners because I think they're very important, especially the ability to effectively disinherit when that isn't supposed to be able to happen. Okay, so what is Turkey Trivia all about? We are going to ask a series of questions that relate to Thanksgiving, and then somehow, through the power of our knowledge, relate it to estate planning or retirement planning. And I know this first one, which is question 5 on our list, Chris has an answer to already, so I'm going to put him on the spot to relate it. You came up with – look at all that writing on there.
I do.
So I will ask the question. We want our listeners to ponder this and call us, because this is live. We're live now. So we're going to go to a break shortly, but over the break, get in and call. Everyone who calls will be entered into a drawing for Fat Albert's pie that you will be able to use for Christmas. I don't think you'll be able to use it for Thanksgiving. But you have to call. You have to call and try to guess an answer. So we are going to ask a Thanksgiving-related question. And then you simply call 970-530-0556.
Negative. 970-213. Stop. 353-1310.
Why don't you say the
970-353-1310 is the call.
I'm so used to giving my number.
Oh, I know.
Out. Okay, so you're going to call 970-353-1310 with the answer to this very easy question. And then Chris is going to take the answer and relate it to retirement planning. Question, Plymouth Rock today is as big as a car engine, B, a mailbox, or C, the nose on one of the faces on Mount Rushmore. How big is the actual rock? And I have been there. I have seen it. I used to live near Plymouth. How big is Plymouth Rock? Is it as big as a car engine, a mailbox, or the nose on one of the statues on Mount Rushmore?
Perfect.
Call 353-1310 with your answer, and you could win a Fat Albert's
yes.
pie.
So if you call in now, which is totally encouraged, you'll have to wait through the break. But we'll pick up right with you immediately when we come back from the break. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show, a Thanksgiving prequel edition, I guess. We're a few days ahead of Thanksgiving Day here, so it's not Thanksgiving Day itself. But we're finally getting into turkey trivia, so we'll be back with you right after this short break. Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show.
That's I have no idea what they were just saying.
That is a very chaotic song.
Yeah. I like the last line in it, though.
I heard Thanksgiving Day. That's all I could hear.
I heard gravy. Yeah. There's gravy in there.
At the end, there's a little cartoon that goes with it, at least the one I looked at.
Right,
and at the end, it said, don't forget to kiss the cook. Right at the very end.
Very nice.
That's the Thanksgiving overture.
I thought William Tell did that, but maybe I'm wrong. You
know, maybe this was the practice before he did the actual William
Tell. It said in the 90 seconds that this song takes, it sums up everything you need to know about Thanksgiving. And I'm going to guess it does because it was so fast I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Exactly. So we are back. We've got actually a couple callers waiting to answer our trivia questions. So those of you who weren't here before the break, let me repeat the question. The question is, Plymouth Rock today is as big as A, a car engine, B, a mailbox, or C, the nose of one of the faces on Mount Rushmore. And we are going to go to Bill in LaSalle first. He was the first caller right into the break there. So good morning, Bill. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Good morning.
Excellent. Have you got a guess for us, or do you maybe just know this?
I don't know for sure, but it seems to me that a car engine is about the right size for it.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, I get the answer right in front of me, and Bill is 100% correct.
He is 100% correct.
Hey,
wow.
Way to go, Bill.
All
nice
right, Bill.
Job, Bill. So, and let me put your name down. You're the first entrant this month into the pie drawing.
And, Bill, if you have like 16 questions you want to ask us to keep us from asking another trivia question,
you can stall the next question.
You'll win the pie.
But before we do that, we have to somehow tie.
Well, we should say thank you to Bill. We're not going to make him stay on the phone all this time, are we?
Well, unless, Bill, do you have a follow-up question you'd like to ask us? If not, we'll move along.
I don't. I have to go check out a plumbing problem now.
So. Oh, well, okay.
Well, let's not keep you from that.
That may be important.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Bill. We'll let you know if you win the pie. So for everyone else, we're now going to somehow
relate
Plymouth Rock and a car engine to retirement planning.
All right, go for it.
Okay. So Plymouth Rock is, in fact, today approximately as big as a car engine.
What kind of car?
Well, a Plymouth, perhaps.
Oh,
Plymouth
very
automobiles.
Good.
Plymouth automobiles were introduced in 1928. On July 7th of 1928, sliced bread was sold for the first time in Chillicothe, Missouri.
That's Chillicothe. See, it's Chillicothe, I think, is the way it's pronounced in Missouri.
And that, he's that from there.
That would be including all the letters. So
yes.
Chillicothe.
It's like there's a Versailles, Missouri, too, by the way.
Versailles?
Versailles, yeah.
Very nice. So Plymouth Automobiles introduced in 1928. On July 7th of that same year, sliced bread was sold for the first time in Chillicothe, Missouri.
That's where the expression is better than sliced bread came from. Chillicothe. That's it. Chillicothe.
Oh, there is an H.
Yeah, that's the correct.
If you're going to correct me, at least correct me correctly.
I am now correcting my correction of you so that we're all correct here, and that's the way they pronounce it in Missouri.
This is really ruining the flow of my answer.
Well, and he is from Missouri.
Yeah. Actually, I'm from Missouri.
I thought you said Missouri.
I did.
Well, he's on the
But if you're from Kansas City or St. Louis, it's Missouri. Everywhere else, it's Missouri.
Okay. Whatever. Go on.
Okay.
So
rewinding,
why don't you start from
again,
the beginning again, because this is taking a while.
Yeah. So the question originally was, Plymouth Rock today is as big as a car engine.
Correct.
Okay. From that, Plymouth Automobiles were introduced in 1928. On July 7th of that same year, 1928, sliced bread was sold for the very first time commercially in Chillicothe, Missouri.
I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. As it so happens, Senator Bennett Clark from Missouri delayed signing of the Social Security Act of 1935 by proposing an amendment allowing firms with better pensions to opt out of Social Security. This caused an uproar and kind of a logjam, delaying the passage of the Social Security Act. But after about 90 days, the amendment was dropped and Social Security was passed.
I'm impressed.
How about that?
Wow, you did some work on that.
That is pretty good.
That's my best one, so hope you don't come back to me.
I think I'm not even going to enter this thing. I think that stole the show.
And not only that, Social Security is a very, very important form of what we call secure income. It is a wonderful program, even though it was cut recently. You can learn all you would like to know on Social Security at our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And normally on a show, we do an update on what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. This show, we're not, because we want to get to more turkey trivia. But as Chris just somehow, Lord only knows, related Plymouth Rock and a car engine to Social Security, we do want you to know that if you have any Social Security questions, it'll be very easy for you to go to our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, and listen to some of our blog posts. Or, of course, you can contact us at the office. The easiest way to do that is to go to my website, Jim Helps. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Click on the Contact Us button, and we'd be more than happy to help you with Social Security or any other retirement planning question you may have. And, Pete, I'm sure there's a wonderful way people can get a hold of you, especially those who may be worried now after the last segment of being disinherited. So how do people reach you?
Well, I'm with the law firm of Cohen, Payton & Payne, and I particularly practice estate planning, business succession tax, and the firm itself does a lot of real estate, business transactions, intellectual property, and litigation. But you can reach me at our Greeley number, which is 970-339-3500. That's 970-339-3500, or on the web at peterscotthelps.com. That's PETERSCOTTHELPS.com.
Okay.
By the way, I have a great one for number four, too. So let's try to make sure we get number four in today.
Okay. Well, we'll go. This is mine, and then Pete is going to go next, and then you can go if there's time.
Fine.
We're not going to rush you. Number four, huh? Let me see what number four. Oh, good. I don't have one for that.
I've got a perfect one for four, and it's much shorter.
Oh, perfect is good enough, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do that one now? Do you want to?
Well, then I'll be out for the rest of the show.
Okay. And watching football, and I can't have that. So I'll go next, and then Pete will go.
Okay.
I'm going to go with number two.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to read it since you read mine?
No, I'll read it. It's
I'll set it up for you. No? Okay, go ahead.
Read that unless you want to read
no,
it.
No, please go.
Okay. What is the name of the book that Governor William Bradford wrote telling of the troubles and experiences of the pilgrims? A, All My Pilgrims. B, of Plymouth Plantation, C, of Plymouth Rock, or D, the Real Wives of Plymouth County? What was the name of the book written by Governor William Bradford telling of the troubles and experiences of the Pilgrims? A, All My Pilgrims, B, of Plymouth Plantation, C, of Plymouth Rock, or D, the Real Wives of Plymouth County?
Very nice. So 970-353-1310. You've got a 1 in 4 chance, even if you have no idea. You can probably narrow it down a little bit. But Bill called in. He happened to get the question correct to get entered into the pie drawing. But if you simply call in and attempt to answer the question correctly, you'll get entered into the pie drawing. So it's worth the phone call either way. So 970-353-1310. We will repeat the question to you once you call. So in case you didn't pick up on all of the possible answers here, we'll remind you while you're on the phone with us. Do we decide what we're going to talk about while we wait for people to call?
I just figured people would have called.
Well, last time it was so immediate. They liked my question very much.
Apparently they don't like this question.
Apparently they don't.
Well, this is kind of a literary question. And
books scare people?
Yeah. Books are scary.
But again, what was the name of the book that Governor William Bradford wrote telling of the troubles and experiences of the Pilgrims? All My Pilgrims, of Plymouth Plantation, of Plymouth Rock, or The Real Wives of Plymouth County?
The what?
The Real Wives of Plymouth County.
Oh. Huh.
That was D, as in dog.
Well, I have different answers.
I ad libited.
You libited it?
I ad libited. Because she had too many choices.
I see.
I cut them shorter.
You did.
And then, made one so totally out of the realm, it's really a 1 out of 3 chance.
I see. You're very kind.
So while we're waiting for someone to call at 970-353-1310.
Even our Duluthian listener.
Duluthian? Very nice. So we want to remind everyone that we are in Roth conversion season. This is the time of the year when people need to start thinking seriously if you're considering a Roth conversion for the year of 2015, because the deadline is approaching and some of these take a little time.
I don't think you should go there.
Why?
Because you're going to start actually providing something of substance and interest to our listeners, and they definitely won't call. If we talk about stuff they don't want to hear just to shut us up, they'll call and try to guess this question.
Oh. Well, I can stop. If you're considering a Roth conversion, do it now.
Call us and we'll tell you why.
That seemed to work.
Yeah, there we go.
I think Jim was right on that one.
So we do have some calls coming in. So.
Thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully.
That's the one thing, the risk we take with trivia. If no one calls in, it makes for a rather boring show.
Well, and then we can talk about things that interest us, and everybody quits listening. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's working because now the phone lines are lighting up.
Yeah, so apparently that advice was well thought.
Talk about things that people don't want to hear. Know what we'll do next time? We'll just play – we'll get a chalkboard, and we're just going to start scraping our fingernails on the chalkboard.
Yeah. We will stop when you call.
Exactly. If you don't want to listen to that, call in. But we have a multitude of callers now, so why don't you take one?
Well, I will once they become available on my screen.
Oh.
All we get now is the blinking lights. I just saw – well, never mind.
Stop watching football.
No, I'm not. I was watching the commercial this time.
Oh.
There was a commercial for a new alcoholic beverage for which we probably cannot discuss.
Is it a turkey-related alcoholic beverage?
No, but it has an interesting name.
Hmm.
I can't see because I'm not watching TV.
That's fine. You can watch it in the reflection
of
Pete's glasses.
Reflection of my glasses, yeah. Is there any particular way you'd like for me to hold my head so you can get a better view?
Right. So we are going to go to our first caller here.
You don't seem too sure of yourself.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to call – we're not going to call. We're going to take the call from Dorothy from Evans. Good morning, Dorothy.
Morning.
Thanks very much for calling in. Would you like us to repeat the question for you, or do you recall the question?
I think I recall the question. Go ahead and repeat it.
Why don't we have Jim go through
it
one more time?
I'll repeat it one more time. What is the name of the book that Governor William Bradford wrote telling of the troubles and experiences of the pilgrims? All My Pilgrims, Of Plymouth Plantation, Of Plymouth Rock, or The Real Wives of Plymouth County?
Well, I'm going to guess Of Plymouth Plantation.
Well done.
Well done, Dorothy.
Do we have, where's our little ding, ding, ding?
Well, Mike is busy
Mike is
with
on the phone
calls. That's all okay. Good. So that was exactly correct, Dorothy. So you're now entered into the pie drawing, have a 50-50 chance at this point.
And how long it's taking people to call, you have a very good chance of winning.
And Dorothy, did you know that answer, or was that a guess?
No, I
Googled
kind
it.
Of knew it. I kind of remembered it from past history.
I see.
Perfect.
So that education's paying off finally.
There you go. There
actually,
you go.
Last night I Googled this, and the book is out there, and I tried reading it. Painful, painful reading. It's written, it's written in this grandiose language style that certainly isn't used nowadays.
Okay.
Well, you're from that area. You'd think that it would fit right into your...
Nah, he was even talking worse than I talk.
Well, thank you, Dorothy. Do you have any questions for us before we
relate this
here?
To retirement planning?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, thank
thanks
you
for calling.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll let you know if you are the lucky winner of the pie. So, Jim, how does this connect to... retirement or estate
planning? Well, it's so obvious I shouldn't even have to describe it.
I would think so, but go ahead.
It should be obvious to everybody.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Governor William Bradford, he was the governor like 8 separate times. They kept going back to him. Did you – when you Googled?
No, I was just reading the book.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read anything
about him. Yeah, he was there for a while and then back. I think he served for a total of like 30 years
kinda
or like something
Jerry
like
Brown.
That. Just kind of like Jerry Brown.
Never goes away. Just keeps
just
coming
keeps
back.
Coming back. Go ahead.
Okay, so how does William Bradford relate to retirement planning? Well, it's so obvious I shouldn't have to go through this, but I will just the same. William Bradford is an actual road in the town that I grew up in, William Bradford Road. Hmm. And as luck would have it, my mom lives on William Bradford Road.
No.
She does. I know what you're saying.
Are you
I'm
sure?
making this up.
It sounds
I'm not.
Like you're making this up.
No, mom lives on William Bradford Road. Mm-hmm. And my mom is 76. 76 is comprised of two numbers, a 7 and a 6. And if you add them together, you get 13. Mm-hmm. 13 is a baker's dozen. If you go get a baker's dozen of bagels, that's what you get is 13 bagels. Whereas a traditional dozen is 12. And if you took 12 and 13 and add them together, you get 25. And if you subtracted 25 from my age, you get 27. And at age 27, I started working as a rookie police officer. And as a police officer, I had a pension. And a pension is what we call secure income. And secure income is very important for your retirement. What? It makes perfect sense.
You're really starting to take this to an obscene level.
No, it made perfect sense. Huh? William Bradford Road, my mm-hmm. mom lives on it. Mm-hmm. She's 76. Mm-hmm. 76 is the number 7 and 6. Added mm-hmm. together is 13, which is a baker's dozen. Mm-hmm. If you took a baker's dozen and added to a traditional dozen, you get 25.
Mm-hmm. Seems like I've heard this before.
You subtract 25 from my age, you get 27. And when I was 27, I became a cop. Mm-hmm. And as a cop, I had a pension. Mm-hmm. And a pension is secure income. Mm-hmm. And secure income is very, very important for your retirement. Mm. It's a hell of a lot better than your stupid Plymouth and sliced bread.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I think his was very good. I didn't go to the extremes that you guys have.
That's no extreme.
This is okay. This is our second year of this. We're far more.
I tried to listen to last year's, but I couldn't. I couldn't find it. But
well, I'm sure our listeners could see
these slowly evolved to be like this. We didn't start off with this level of complexity, and that's, my next one is much simpler. So
it's not complex. That just made perfect sense.
Oh, that's
wait.
Oh, okay.
Wait till I get to number 3.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think I've got something to do between now and then.
But anyway, secure income, all jokes aside, is very important. Secure income, for those who don't know, forms the foundation of what we call our secure retirement income process. The reason we like secure income is we have I've created, or at least in my eyes, secure income is income that must match a three-pot definition. And again, we're talking retirement planning here, people. We're talking when you are retired. What is secure income? And it's important you know how much secure income you will have. And the problem is, Pete, is a lot of people don't quite understand that interest, dividends, that's not secure income. Part-time jobs, consulting, that's not secure income. Withdrawals from your assets, that's not secure income. Many of these items may be taxed to you as income, but they're not what we call secure income. Secure income must, number one, be predetermined and known. There is no ambiguity. We can tell you as a 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, and beyond year old how much secure income you should receive in any given year. Number two, secure income is not impacted by the performance of any stock market index. It's not impacted by interest rates. It's not impacted by what the Federal Reserve may or may not do. In other words, secure income can never be cut. If it moves, it only moves higher. And number three, secure income is not backed by you and your assets. Secure income is backed by a third party, more often than not, a very deep-pocketed third party who shares the risk amongst millions of individuals in providing you the secure income you will receive. Secure income, in other words, is Social Security, pension, and income annuity. And these three sources of income are crucial to any retirement. I know investments get all the attention. Investments get all the praise. Investments, they're a pain in the hiney. And as you age, as you move from your 60s and 70s and get into your 80s, you are going to care less and less and less about the markets and what they're doing and how much your portfolio may be dropping or growing. All's what you want to do is live by replicating the safety and security of your paycheck. And you do that through optimizing your secure income. Understanding how your pension works, that I would have had as if I stayed a cop, understanding Social Security and how it works, and understanding income annuities. There's a lot of annuities out there. Most of them aren't worth the paper the policy is printed on. But when you can find good ones and understand how income annuities work, deferred income annuities, immediate income annuities, and the new qualified lifetime annuity contracts, or QLACs, the new annuities that the Treasury Department themselves authorized to be owned inside IRAs so you can have income for the rest of your life and no required minimum distributions. It's important to understand how secure income works and how it can help alleviate a lot of the risks of retirement. And that's what I wanted to get to. Okay.
Wow. All from William Brady.
Bradford.
Whatever.
It's Tom Brady.
Well, that was Tom Brady was on the TV behind you, so that's probably why.
Yes, I'm sure it is because you guys are watching football. Notice I have my Patriots shirt on.
I was overlooking that.
Because
you're looking at the television. You look at me. It says New England Patriots.
Why is it in Oakland Raiders colors, though?
It's gray. It's Belichick gray.
It's black and white and gray.
This is how Belichick does it, all right?
Oh, he's a Raider lover?
He's not a Raider lover. He's a coach for us. And this is just the gray hoodie version.
Oh, so. And us would not include us.
Us is other New England fans.
I see.
And William Bradford was from Massachusetts. If William Bradford was alive today, he would be a New England Patriots fan. He certainly wouldn't be a Bronco fan. He would be a Patriot fan because he was a Patriot. He was a pilgrim. It would be called the New England Pilgrims.
Did he cheat too?
Who?
William Bradford.
We don't cheat.
Ah.
We just stretched the rules. Okay. So, Pete, your turn.
Number eight would be.
You went way to the end. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Number eight. Okay.
So the question is, which was the first giant balloon to debut at Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? So which was the first giant balloon to debut at Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I hope you
I
have
created
a few choices.
Multiple choices.
Oh, okay. Very good. So Chris really working very hard on this, as we could tell from his first answer.
What about my answer?
Yours was a little twisted.
Yeah, that was a little tortured.
It's a little dark.
It wasn't tortured.
Moving right along here, the choices are A, Mickey Mouse, B, a giant turkey, C, Casper the Ghost, or D, Felix the Cat. So the choice is Mickey Mouse, a giant turkey, Casper the Ghost, or Felix the Cat. So still in the running for the pie, so mm-hmm. call in. And
this is the first balloon to ever debut at the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade.
Giant balloon.
Giant
those little
balloon.
Ones. One of those big giant ones. Now.
Yeah, the big balloons that everybody holds onto with the
yes.
strings.
Yes. Right. And the wind kicks up and everybody
And what
panics.
Were the choices again?
They are Mickey Mouse, a giant turkey, Casper the Ghost, or Felix the Cat.
Now the turkey, the
and
giant turkey one, is it a cooked turkey or a real turkey?
970-353-1310. Yes.
Very
That's
good.
How you call the answer.
Mm-hmm. 353-1310.
Now, what about the – it's not an actual turkey, no.
No, no, no. Was it a giant balloon of a dead roasted turkey or
no.
a live turkey?
No, no. That would be morbid.
All right.
It's the feathered, fully feathered, living turkey with the little pilgrim hat on the top.
That funny turkey.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's the traditional Thanksgiving Day parade turkey.
Okay, so what was the first balloon at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Please, someone call.
970-353.
Pete's going to get a chalkboard and start rubbing his fingernails on it.
That's right. Yep.
1310.
Okay.
353-1310.
It's very easy. 970-353-1310. For those iTunians who don't yet have free long distance, 877-353-1310.
But please don't call if you're listening to this on iTunes.
True. If you're streaming live, there's some people who stream live off the website.
Not on iTunes, though. But
no, not on iTunes.
Live on the website. If you're on the radio show website right now streaming, you have the opportunity to call in, 877-353-1310. Locals, 970-353-1310.
And if you're out of the list, the immediate area, do they get a coupon as well?
Yes, but they would have to travel to
All right.
Greeley.
Is it freely assignable or transferable?
They can get one, but Sue's not going to mail the pie. They have
no,
to come
they,
down
they
here
could,
to get it.
They could give the coupon to someone local, maybe if they have a relative.
Oh, yeah. If you're living somewhere else and listening to us off of the web.
Or maybe one of the hungry hosts on the
Oh, show. I see where you're going with this. Pete's trying to get a free pie.
Yeah.
Well, you can't blame me. The pies are
no,
so good.
No.
They are good. Keep it up. Maybe I would give you a pie. I was thinking of buying everyone here a pie.
Okay. Oh, so we do have a caller. We're going to go to Lynn in Fort Lupton. Good morning, Lynn. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Doing well.
Lynn, have you been a longtime listener?
We have.
Have you
my husband.
Did you listen to the entire show today?
No, I was kind of running errands in the
car.
Oh,
that's okay.
So you can't lend your opinion on how I...
Jim is
William
very
Bradford
self-conscious.
To, was that not
I'm
brilliant?
Pass on that one.
Oh, come on. That was brilliant. Lynn, we're losing you now, Lynn. We can't hear you. We're going to move to the next caller.
Okay. Lynn, do you want to hear the question again?
Sure.
Okay. Which was the first giant balloon to debut at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? And the choices are A, Mickey Mouse, B, a giant turkey, C, Casper the Ghost, or D, Felix the Cat?
I'm taking a guess, but I'm going to say the giant turkey.
You were taking the cat, but you're going to say the giant turkey?
She's taking a guess.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm
She's
sorry.
Taking
oh,
a
okay.
guess. Clean your headphones.
Well, maybe they need to be turned up a bit. They've been a little lacking. So.
I'm taking the cat.
What?
Okay, we're ready for your final answer, Lynn.
Now I'm confused. Lynn, what was your answer? Is it the cat or is it the turkey or neither?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe it's a cat eating a turkey.
Now you're just confusing the issue.
I'm going to say the cat. I really wanted the turkey, though.
Well, we're not trying to change your mind here. Have some conviction.
I'm going with the turkey. I'm going with with the turkey. If I'm wrong, somebody else could go.
Okay, perfect. She's going with the turkey as a final answer.
Final answer is the turkey.
Give her the news.
Oh, I'm sorry to tell you. The turkey did make that first parade.
The turkey is not the answer.
Sorry.
Okay. After all that.
No,
but,
it's okay.
But you do get entered, I think, from what Chris.
Yes, yes. So anybody who calls gets entered.
Still in the running.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, next caller up. Who's that, Chris?
We're not quite sure yet. Oh, perfect. It is Tom in Loveland. Tom in Loveland, how are you this morning? He seems to be very quiet this morning. There's Tom. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. Glad we finally got connected here. So have you heard the question? Would you like it repeated?
No, I think it's Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse is the answer. Is that correct, Pete?
I am sorry, Tom. You're entered in the pie contest, but the answer is incorrect. So, but we do appreciate
you. We are narrowing it down, though. Thank you very much
for
calling.
We're narrowing it down to Felix the Cat, and what was the other critter?
Let's see.
Casper the Ghost.
Casper the Ghost. Mm-hmm. So cartoon characters.
So down to two cartoon characters.
Tom, thanks for calling in. We really
appreciate
it.
Thank you, Tom. But you are entered into the drawing for the free pie. Mm-hmm. So we need someone else to play along. I think we still have someone on the line, or is that still Tom refusing to hang up?
Just came in. So, no. They just came back in, so Mike is going to get me the name shortly.
So we're down to Felix the Cat and some ghost.
Perfect. So we've got Trish in Greeley. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning.
Hi. Have you got a guess for us on our who is the first giant balloon at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Would you like to hear the choices?
No.
You get a cat or a ghost?
So what's your choice there, Trish?
Maybe Trish can't hear us.
Oh, maybe we can't hear her.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Yes.
This is like a Verizon commercial.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
I'm choosing Felix the Cat.
Absolutely correct.
Very
good.
The wonderful, wonderful cat. Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into his bag of tricks.
Do you remember Felix the Cat from the cartoon?
She sounds too young for Felix.
Yes, she does.
Oh, thank you. I love you both.
That was worth a call alone, right there. That's the right answer, too, by the way, Trish.
Excellent.
So does she get entered twice now?
No.
I would vote for her being entered twice.
Okay. Well, because she put us out of our misery here on this question.
Well, that, plus that the second answer, which was also correct, was
very
good.
Nice.
Trish, thanks so much. We got you in the contest. So.
Yep. So we're going to take a quick break.
I will say, I would have went with the mouse, too.
The mouse?
I thought it was the mouse.
I threw that in there. I think
that was a hard one when you threw that in there.
Yeah. So we're going to let Pete expand on this question, how it might
how Felix the Cat relates to estate planning.
Yep. After the break, we need to take a short break here. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll come back with the fourth segment. If you want to be ready to call for the next question, 970-353-1310 is the number to keep handy. We'll be back after this short break.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. Me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Good morning and welcome back to the final segment on the Retirement and IRA Show. We're having a little fun today with some turkey trivia. Got several entrants so far. We're kind of in the middle of a question right now.
How does Wonderful World relate to...
I would love to talk to you about this, but you need to be attached to the microphone.
Sorry,
first.
I forgot I didn't have the microphone in front of me.
Too busy watching television.
I'm not watching television. You guys are. I've got a wall to look at. I just didn't have the microphone in front of me.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
This song was created to bring a hopeful, optimistic tone with regard to the future. It has become popular with the holiday season because of its message of looking for the good and being thankful.
When was it written?
1967.
I thought that was from the 30s.
No, Louis Armstrong's from the 30s.
Oh.
This was
it was first recorded by Louis Armstrong in 1960.
And it was in a movie. Robin. It was in a movie that Robin Williams about Vietnam.
I think it was written before that.
Probably, a lot of those were.
But it
I don't think it was 67 for Louis Armstrong.
That seems old. I thought Louis Armstrong.
But that was a theme in a movie that Robin Williams was in about Vietnam, and I can't think of the name.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, but it was out before that.
Was it? Because that's the first time I'd heard it.
Oh, no.
No. This was way before that.
Yeah.
Because I love that song. I really like that. But I thought that was done in the 30s.
I'm just reading what's in front of me.
So you can Google it.
Could have been.
Okay.
Louis was certainly around then.
But anyways, Pete, we are waiting on Pins and Needles with Bated Breath, how a cat, Felix the Cat, relates to estate planning.
Well, unlike my esteemed colleagues, rather than running around the barn, I'm going right directly through the front door of the barn.
Okay.
And so Felix the Cat, of course, being a feline, reminds us all that our pets are very important to us and become very much a part of the family. And we are able to provide for them. And very often people forget, either during periods of disability, they become incapacitated physically and or mentally, or at their death, who's going to provide for their pets after they're gone. And some of the pets, for example, some of the birds live to 60, 70 years, well beyond the life of their owners. And if they really do care about the pets, then those provisions need to be thought about and provided for. So,
and cats eat birds, so you need a trust to protect your bird.
Well, that would be one, yes. But how about just protecting the cat? Well, remember Lenora Helmsley with her little dog? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in New York, they have allowed these what they sometimes used to call honorary trusts, but pet trusts for the care of pets. In Colorado, probably about a decade ago, then permits those. And I think now all states do, where folks can set up a trust for the care of their pets for the remainder of their pets' lives.
And is this something you could help listeners with, all jokes aside?
Yeah, I've done several of them, and they can be as simple or as complex as you like.
Now, if the pet is a spendthrift, do you have an accumulation trust?
Well, you don't really have to worry about that because they don't have pockets. So they really and maybe that's why they spend everything they receive, because they have no place to put it. So they just spend it.
Well, yeah. My dog would spend it on food if he had his choice. He is hooked now on those little chicken jerky things for dogs, those little chicken strips.
So when you're at work, he's on Amazon ordering chicken strips.
If he could, he would. He sits now. I mean, he's old, so it's hard for him to sit in front of the door. He knows where they are, and he just waits. He loves these chicken things. And I don't buy the Chinese ones. These are made in Germany, and he just loves them. But it's pure chicken. And, oh, my God.
You have something against American chickens?
You can't find American-made chicken jerky strips for dogs.
Just buy some chicken and dehydrate it.
I don't know. I don't have the buying capacity that these firms do. Yeah. So I pay $20 for a 2.5-pound bag of chicken strips.
Of random German chicken parts?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it's all chicken breast. But anyways, that has nothing to do with it. What I'm saying is my dog would buy those till the cow comes home. Mm-hmm. So his trust would have to specify.
Yes. Yeah, and you may
one bag a month.
Well, you may want to do that because you do want to restrict some of those dietary things in the care of your pets.
And you can put all that in the trust.
Absolutely. In fact, one of my trusts I did, 20 years ago, was very detailed. A couple that was doing quite well in the dot-com era, and they didn't have children. And so they had, I think it was two dogs, and we must have spent a month putting this thing together with all the provisions that they wanted and back and forth on it. In fact, that trust is now in a book that was published by a colleague of mine on pet trusts and the care of pets. And the name of the book is All My Children Wear Fur Coats, and Peggy Hoyt is her name. So it's an excellent book. It's a small book, paperback, but it really helps people kind of work through some of those considerations for the care of their pets at their incapacity or after they're gone.
Interesting. So if anybody wanted to do a pet trust, how would they reach you, Pete?
they can reach me on the web at peterscotthelps.com, PETERSCOTTHELPS.com.
MOUSE.
Yes, or by the traditional method of the telephone, a new invention that we're getting used to. It's 970 339 3500. That's our Greeley number. That will track me down whether I'm in the Fort Collins office, the Greeley office, or in the Denver office. And that's with the law firm of Cohen, Payton, and Payne.
Perfect. And if anybody missed all that, go to Jim Helps, my website. Click the Contact Us button, and there is actual picture of Pete there, and you can click his picture, and it takes you to his website.
Very nice.
So, Chris, I think it's come back around to you.
Back to you to number five.
Number four. Oh. We already did number five. Well, the numbers don't mean much
to the listeners
anyway.
Okay.
So here's the question, and it's much better. It'll be quicker this time because it's true or false.
Yes, just one
so
or the other.
So if you want to start calling in right now, 970-353-1310, the question is.
True or false?
The first meal eaten on the moon by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin was a roasted turkey dinner with all the trimmings. True or false?
Oh, this will be
interesting. No maybe. Just true or false?
The first meal eaten on the moon by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin was a roasted turkey dinner with all the trimmings.
Now,
is
were
that
they?
True or
would
false?
This be the first meal on the moon ever, or does someone else eat something ahead of time?
We will never know the answer to that question. And I know where you're going with this. Were they actually on the moon, or was Buzz up in the orbiting supply thing?
Well, I'm assuming from the way the question – that's not my question. But
I assume they were on the moon based on the way it's written.
I think I think the two of them were down on the moon. Yeah. And then there was – the third was Scott Carpenter, or who was the
third?
You know,
I don't recall.
He was the third tenor. Nobody knows him.
But my question was going to be, and is now that I've finally gotten a chance to get it in here, was there landing on the moon around Thanksgiving? Is that
no? Now you're looking for hints on the answer. I'm not sure. I want to give that.
So once again, listeners, 877-353-1310. If you're out of the local area code, 970-353-1310. Was the first meal eaten on the moon by Buzz Aldrin and the other guy.
Neil Armstrong.
So Chris didn't fall for my trap.
Was it a turkey dinner? True or false? Or one could say yes or no. You got one choice.
Si or no.
Si or no.
What? Are we going to – do I have to go through all the
true
choices?
Or false? We'll take true or false. No maybe. Just true or false.
Perfect.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And we have a caller with a true or a false answer.
You always jump on that, but we kind of have to wait for him to get the name and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So
the light is blinking, but then there's a delay.
The light's on, but...
The light's on, but
no one's home quite yet. You know how when you hear the garage door go up, you got to wait for him to get in and the...
Get
the bags out of the car, and then they finally come in the door. That's what's happening right now. They're in the garage... We know they're there because we've heard kind of that rumbling sound you hear in the house when the garage door opener is going. Perfect. So we're going to welcome Josh from Eaton to the show this morning.
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Josh.
Morning.
Would you like us to repeat the question?
It's a true or false. Is that the one we're on?
That's
it's
the one.
True or false.
Turkey dinner on the moon. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
That's too bad because that is incorrect.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's horrible. The good news is no one else is on the phone, so if you call right back, you might be able to get the right answer, and I think you have a hint now as to the correct answer.
Okay, so the next caller, you have a choice of true or nothing.
Right. 970-353-1310. All jokes aside, I'm going to enter Josh into the
Josh gets entered.
If he calls in again, he doesn't get entered.
But now that
time,
we know the answer, you might as well relate it to. Are we going to make someone call in and say true?
Well, if someone wants to enter
seems
the pie contest.
Oh, true.
Or false.
If somebody wants to call in and enter the pie drawing, just call in and utter the word true.
Someone has. So let's go to Marguerite in Greeley. Good morning.
Hi. The name is Margaret, and I'm in Kersey.
Margaret in Kersey. Well, we messed that one up.
I'm typing what shows up on my screen.
No, you're not typing. You're reading what shows up on your screen.
And I have Marguerite from Greeley, which is similar, I guess, to Margaret from Kersey. But we're elated that Margaret from Kersey chose to join us this morning.
Do you want the hint again, Marguerite?
Miss Margaret.
No, I just want to say true.
Okay, Margaret has nailed it.
Correct. Now, did you know that or did you guess?
I guess the other guy said false, so it had to be true.
Perfect.
You are very, very clever.
Yes. Thank you very much for calling in.
She's wise beyond the years.
Margaret, did you have a question, or is that she may be gone.
Okay.
So, all right. So I'm anxious to see what circuitous route we're
this
going to
This is not
take.
Too circuitous, although it is related to circuitity.
As in social? Circuitous?
Yeah. Here it is.
All right.
The moon.
Yes.
Is made of cheese.
Orbits the Earth about once every 27.4 days.
Okay.
And that's how old Jim was when he joined the police force.
I forgot about that, or I would have tied it in that way. The moon orbits the Earth about once every 27.4 days. 27.4 is the beginning divisor for RMDs at the age of 70 and a half.
Wonderful. That was good.
That's pretty good. Wow.
So to tell everybody what that means, when you reach 70 and a half, you have to start taking required minimum distributions from most pre-tax retirement accounts, which means you can't just leave them in there anymore. You have to start taking distributions, and they're going to be taxed. And to figure out how much you have to take, you take the balance as of December 31st in the year prior to the RMD being taken and take that amount and divide it by a certain number that you look up on a table that the IRS supplies. And that table, the first divisor, the first number that you divide by at 70 and a half is 27.4 currently. These numbers do evolve and change as lifespans evolve. But right now it is 27.4. So the first RMD that you take would be the balance of your account where the RMD is required divided by 27.4.
I'm very impressed.
And that's how it relates.
I am very impressed. That was excellent.
I happened to stumble across that when I just Googled moon and I said 27.4. That number sounds familiar. And lo and behold, I had to go look it up to make sure I wasn't delusional. But
interesting.
Lo and behold, they were
excellent.
Or loony. Same. How about that, huh?
That was very good.
That one was right to the point. And
it was.
I want to add, I received a text from my number one fan.
Your mom. And is she confirming that she, in fact, lives on William Tell Road?
She began by apparently taking your side. I have never heard such a convoluted explanation.
Mm-hmm. Moms are always right, you know.
But I guess it worked.
I guess that's pretty much, yeah, I agree. I guess it worked.
And then she confirms she lives on William Bradford Road.
In Florida?
Not Tom Brady Road.
Not Tom Brady Road.
Is there a Tom Brady Road?
There will be. And I'm going to live on it. All right, Mike, how much time do we have left?
We have approximately 6 minutes.
Oh, all right. We'll go to my last question.
Okay.
Question three, which is like question seven for us. The first Thanksgiving in 1621 was believed. Apparently, they didn't record it because she said was believed rather than is known. But was believed to have lasted how many days?
Like most multi-day parties, people don't have a good recollection of what exactly
happened. Because they were hungover?
Exactly. So no one really recorded exactly how long it lasted.
Felt like a lifetime. Mm-hmm. The first Thanksgiving in 1621 was believed to have lasted how many days? 1 day, 3 days, or 7 days? How many days did the first Thanksgiving last?
I just assumed it was an afternoon one day as opposed to days.
I figured it was because the Cowboys were coming on and they had to watch them.
I thought it was the Lions that always play on Thanksgiving.
Lions and the Cowboys.
Cowboys always play too?
Yes.
Oh. They play each other, I think.
No.
No?
No. No.
It's always two games.
It's always two games.
Lions are always on.
Lions and Cowboys always play on Thanksgiving.
Gosh. I think if I were playing on either team, I would prefer to pass on that day. But I know it's a big football day because that's what we do all day is watch football.
And eat turkey.
Sure. Well, I watch football turkey. On Saturday mornings during the Retirement and IRA show.
You are, and you're doing a very good job of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the first Thanksgiving in 1621 was believed to have lasted how many days? 1 day, 3 days, or 7 days?
We have Josh from Eaton.
Oh, he's calling back.
He's calling back.
Try it again, Josh.
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. I believe it was 3 days.
Whoa. Ding, 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 ding,
very
ding.
Very nice, Josh. So you are now entered into the pie drawing.
Well, he was before as well.
I know, but I just wanted to give
him. Does he get his name down twice?
I want to give him a little positive reinforcement there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are in the pie drawing.
Josh, did you know that, or was that just a guess?
No, I knew that.
You did?
Wow. Very good.
Very nice. So we'll let you know in actually just a few minutes if you won the pie, if you keep listening. How does that tie to retirement planning, James?
Once again, it is so obvious I should not have to say.
Is your mom going to have to text you about this one too?
Well, she better hurry up. My phone just gave me a notice. I've got 12% energy left. I don't know why my battery's not working.
Well, Apple.
Probably. Okay, so how does the number three tie into retirement planning? It is so obvious. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to go through this, but I will.
Go ahead.
It's not nearly as convoluted as the last one. It's a little more straightforward because we all know three.
And is half the minutes till the end of the show.
We'll never get to the answer.
Will you let me go?
Go ahead.
Three is the atomic number of lithium. Mm-hmm. We all knew that.
Yes.
We also knew the song Lithium is the third song.
I thought you were going to go first.
On Nirvana's album, mm-hmm. Nevermind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kurt Cobain wrote the song Lithium, mm-hmm. which is the third song on the album, Nevermind. We also know Kurt Cobain died at age 27, and from a previous segment, we know I was a cop at age 27.
You can't get back on that same road.
And as a cop, I had a pension.
Oh, no, stop.
And did not pay into Social Security.
This is terrible.
And because I didn't pay into Social Security, I would have been subject to what is known as the windfall elimination provision of Social Security.
I'm feeling so much better about my answers.
This is terrible.
What do you mean it's terrible? It ties right in
somehow
to Social Security.
How come all of yours tie into you personally?
What are you implying?
It's gotta be. Everything revolves around James.
It doesn't revolve around James. Three is the atomic number of lithium. Lithium is the third song in Nirvana's album Nevermind. Kurt Cobain wrote the song Lithium and died at age 27. 27 was the same age that I was when I became a cop.
How come when we ask him about it, all he does is just repeat it?
I don't know.
It just makes sense.
How about
Chris,
this?
Why don't you
three
describe?
3 days is also the federally mandated right of rescission for any mortgage refinance loans.
That has nothing to do with retirement planning.
A lot of people refi.
The windfall elimination provision. Why don't you explain to our listeners what that is?
I would love to, but we don't have enough time. We only have approximately a minute and a half left. I can give you the minute version of it. The windfall elimination provision is a way for Social Security to essentially equalize the calculation for benefits, given the fact that people that don't pay into Social Security, the system treats them as if they were low-wage workers when they truly weren't because they have a government pension instead. So it changes the calculation, reducing the amount that is from your AMI that goes into your primary insurance amount. The offset or reduction in this year, 2015, can be as much as $413 a month. But is reduced if you have enough years of
substantial
earnings in the Social Security system exceeding 20. Once you get to 30, it goes away completely. But it is something that people are exposed to if they have a government pension.
Perfect. So. And it all came from number three.
Perfect.
All right.
So we got 30 seconds.
30 seconds for the pie drawing.
Pie drawing. So pick a number between 1 and 7, Pete.
2.
2 is Tom. Tom is the winner of the pie this week, this month. Even.
Well done, Tom.
So thank you very much. This is the Retirement and IRA Show.
Tom will be getting a coupon in the mail. He can use that pie for Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Perfect. So I hope everyone has a great great week here with Thanksgiving, with family and friends, and we wish you the best. We'll be back with you next week with a brand new show on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.